Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with Angel on Earth, Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Amy, I just want to thank you for being my rock during this season and for continuing to be my rock. And God, if we both know that I cannot be my own rock, then we don't know anything about each other. But just thank you. Thank you so much. You're such a rock. Just like rocking. Like rock solid.
I'm glad I could be that for you, Haley. But I'm a little unsteady after what we saw these past two nights, so I think we needed to bring someone else in to help us.
I agree. I'm very excited to have this guest. We bribed her to come on a couple weeks ago. I saw her tweeting about The Bachelor a couple weeks ago. So I slid into her DM, said, hey,
window.
Come on the pod. So we're really excited to welcome Gabby Pascuzzi from Survivor, I believe, David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
Okay. So like I've obviously watched every season, but they get real mumbled up in my brain.
Yeah. And these Survivor contestants like multiply out of nowhere. So it's, you can never keep track of them. There's too many of us.
And there's girls with glasses. Like, how am I supposed to keep them straight?
I know. Yeah. You could have called me like Sophie Clark or Hannah Shapiro and it would have been fine. It would have been Rourke. I know you guys know Rourke. Like, yeah. We're all the same.
So, Gabby, how did you get into Survivor? Or not Survivor.
We've all got Survivor on the brain.
Before the podcast, you're like, I have to get into Bachelor brain instead of Survivor brain because we all just watch Survivor. Obviously, I'm not there yet. How did you get into watching The Bachelor?
I've watched The Bachelor since I was like a kid when it was probably maybe inappropriate for me to be watching it. So I'm like a true original fan. There are probably a few seasons that I missed, but I watch every season despite, like many fans, I think every season I'm like, this was the worst season ever. I'm never watching it again. And I definitely am not watching next season. And then I end up watching it every season. So I'm a legit Bachelor fan for better or for worse. I'm not sure about this season yet.
So why did you go on Survivor rather than The Bachelor? I can't even ask that with a straight face.
Which show was I on? Oh my gosh, I could never go on The Bachelor.
I'd literally rather starve than go on The Bachelor.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. I know. I feel like my friends who like aren't as into all of reality TV like I am, they're like, so would you do this show? And they just name every show. And like one that I would never do would be The Bachelor, because look at what happens to these poor girls. Like, this show is insane.
Yeah, I know. When we saw you tweeting about it, you were tweeting back then about Victoria F, and she now seems like a distant memory. She got out just in time before this train wreck.
So much has happened this season, and it's exciting that I'm getting to join you guys for the finale, because it was truly a cap on like a crazy season. But even the finale in itself, I feel like, was like a whole entity that we got to break down.
Right.
Yeah. So give us your thoughts overall on the season so far. Where are you at with it?
Where am I at? I was really excited about Peter as a bachelor, as I think many of us were, because he's a little cutie and, you know, he like falls quickly. And I think that the things that we love about Peter slowly became the things that were so frustrating about him, because his falling quickly started to seem so like erratic and almost naive at times that it was really frustrating to watch him develop feelings for girls that I feel like many of the viewers saw as immature or like just want to be there to be an influencer. So it was like almost the whole season, I feel like we're watching him get like hoodwinked in a way by these like young, immature women.
Like they're all 15 and a half. What do we expect from them?
I know. So it was like the whole season I felt like we were watching many middle school relationships flourish. So it's been difficult to watch sometimes, but it has been very dramatic. And I think that the finale was one of the better episodes. I actually do. And I think part of that is because the last two girls started almost to come into their own. Whereas I feel like the whole season I've been struggling to understand anybody's personality. And like everyone just seemed like they were molding to Peter and wanting to be like this perfect robot girlfriend / wife. And like just to be an Instagram influencer. And I was really frustrated by the immaturity that we saw this season.
Yeah, we have talked about that quite a bit, where we saw these really silly feuds going on, but we never really felt stories behind any of the women or understanding who would stand out more than another one with Peter. And he would seem to kind of switch his opinion based on, you know, do I want Alea back in the house? Yeah, I do. Oh, nope, the other women don't like that. No, I don't. And, you know, women like Sydney, where it seemed like they were hitting it off and then she was gone with barely a mention. And so it was really hard to follow. But then I felt like this finale was trying to put all those pieces of what they've been previewing and saying this was spoiler free and no one knows how it's going to end. And I almost felt like I was watching more like a caper or whodunit, like, oh, wait, so wait, Maddie's going to leave and what's going to happen and why is this engagement happening so early? And so really was not predictable. So that part of it, I agree, I really enjoyed. And it didn't really, I don't know, Gabby, did it strike you as any of these other endings, these atypical endings that we've seen in the past? You've mentioned you watched kind of way back when. So we've seen people that haven't made a choice or they just kind of don't really get engaged. And then we saw Ari. Did it strike you as reminding of anyone else, or was it kind of its own entity?
It does feel like something of its own, just because I've heard so many people say it felt like there was a lack of closure. And it did, of course, remind me of like Jason or Ari, you know, changing his mind with the final two. Or it had shades of Colton not proposing, but deciding to pursue a relationship. But I think it really suffered from a lack of closure, where even though we saw Ari leave his final two choice, Becca, to go for Lauren, it was like heart-wrenching. And then you got closure that it was like, okay, he's definitely with Lauren now.
And with them, we also see like they got married, they have a kid, they posted right after, where Madison and Peter, we haven't seen either of them post anything. Like, I'm so happy, like, this journey, like, you know, whether or not it's what we expected. Like, it's just, we haven't seen that. It's been radio silence on their end. It sounds like they haven't done any interviews and will not be doing interviews. And it's, we haven't gotten their takes on anything, which I feel like is pretty interesting.
I know. I'm like, are you guys happy? Like, what's happening? You just put us through this whole season. Like, give us something. But yeah, you're right. Like, they haven't done any interviews. They didn't do any of their press tour. And it's like, if I'm going to be put through all of this, and if you're going to put Hannah Ann through a breakup, you want to to be like there to be a decisive ending. But oh my gosh, there's a lot to break down, like with Matt. I don't know, I everything, know. I guess. So I'll let you guys lead.
Yeah. Okay. Should we just
start at the,
should we
go back to Alice Springs, the Outback?
Yeah, I guess. So we do have couple dates there. Mm-hmm. You know, Monday seems so far away now.
It does.
Hannah Ann meets his family first. They love her. Then Madison meets them second. But before, they have a conversation, you know, the conversation they probably should have had during the fantasy suite night. I believe that's probably a conversation that
this
was
their first time seeing each other.
Yeah. Right?
That they hadn't had any contact besides at the rose ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah. More or less. And then we learn that this, you know, this conversation wasn't like added on at the beginning. It was eating into the family date. So they were somehow 3 hours late. I don't know how that conversation could have lasted for 3 hours since like it was just the same thing over and over again. And then afterwards, we found out who Peter's mom was crying about, and that was Hannah Ann. They loved Hannah Ann, want him to pick her. They really didn't like Madison, which from the show itself, I didn't understand why. Did either of you two get it, or was I missing something?
It seemed like, yeah, they definitely were. I can't remember another time when a family has felt that strongly, or they've showed it that much. But yeah. Barb was over the top, you know, in love with Hannah Ann. She saw like herself and Peter's husband in them, like, I see myself in you too, and this is our love story. And and they vocalized it, and we saw Peter saying when they expressed the opposite with Maddie, he was like, stop, like, you don't know what you're doing right now, you need to stop this. Like, he was telling them, like, it struck me as kind of saying like, this isn't gonna look good because I'm probably picking her, or I'm going to pick Maddie. But he couldn't say that on TV. It was just kind of, that's the sense I got, that he was getting so upset, not just at their opinion, but just that like, this isn't going to be good when I end up picking Madison. Because we saw also during their talk, Madison kind of saying, I was going to tell you I loved you. And then Peter was just like so excited about that. So I don't know. It was interesting to me, Gabby, that they would react to this strongly. It seemed to come out of a lifestyle difference, or the fact that he told them about the ultimatum that Maddie gave. He was very open with them about that.
Yeah, I was wondering if this happens like in other seasons and we just don't see it. If the family is like, we clearly like this person better, because I feel like often you see the families like, oh, I can see why you love both girls. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was shocking to see, especially Barb, being so clearly like, we want you to choose Hannah Ann. And I agree with you. I think it must have been because they had learned about the ultimatum and the lifestyle differences. And I think they also picked up on Madison's hesitance, which mm-hmm. maybe valid. And I think Madison did a lot of defending herself, like after the final rose, where she was like, it's my journey too. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing is, like, nobody's arguing that, like, of course you have to choose Peter too. But if you're Peter's family and you're only meeting two girls, and one is like, hands down, I'm in love with your son and I'm ready to accept an engagement. And the other is like, well, I'm asking him to change all these things about himself, or like, I gave him an ultimatum, I actually left, and I don't even know if I'm ready for a proposal. Like, it's no wonder his family is leaning towards Hannah Ann more. So I don't know if it's like rare that they showed it, or maybe it's just rare that there is such a discrepancy between the two girls.
Yeah, what do you think, Haley?
I wonder if they would have shown it at all if Madison stayed and he picked Madison. Or maybe they would have shown it anyway because it added more drama. This whole thing struck me as very, very odd. I will say I don't believe he would have selected Hannah Ann if Madison hadn't left in the very next date. Because after that, we do see two more dates. We see another one with Madison at Uluru. Mm-hmm. And they have a nice little time there. But then she basically breaks up with him. And then he has another date with Hannah Ann and doesn't say, hey, Madison left. Like, it's just you. Like, I felt like he definitely led Hannah Ann on and was kind of messing with her feelings and her emotions. But I don't think he has the ability to understand he's doing that or even recognize that that was a possibility.
And how much do we think the show, you know, kind of probably told him he couldn't tell her? Because does that just kind of kill the last, you know, the drama of the last day? Like, they want that woman to be wondering, am I going to get engaged? And if on that next date he just says, you're the only one left, then what's the point of even having that date? Do you think that production had something to do with?
Maybe, because like we just saw that with Colton season, more or less, and they didn't really want to repeat it of that. But I don't understand why. Like, why does The Bachelor have to be so formulaic? I think we would have all been happier at the end of this if Peter just said to Hannah Ann, let's just be together for a while and see what this looks like. I think Hannah Ann would have been happier with that too. I just think Peter's dumb. Like, like a very dumb little boy.
I definitely agree with
like
that.
Like, nothing else makes sense.
He's just so indecisive and so, I think he's very desperate for approval and affection that he doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And we saw that the whole season where it's like, he's so kind of malleable to just, he's like a people pleaser.
Whatever. Like, he's so, oh my, he was so spineless. And during last night's episode, when, you know, him and his mother and Maddie were kind of sparring, like he didn't really stand up for either of them until he had to. Like, he didn't stand up for his mom and he didn't stand up for Maddie. And if I was Maddie and I saw that, I'd be like, we're done. Like, you couldn't even, until the very end, until your mom had like said everything she wanted to say, you couldn't stand up for me. Like, we're done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not a very attractive quality. Spineless is the perfect word. Like, he doesn't have any gumption of his own.
It was really frustrating for a lot of reasons. I believe he messed with Hannah Ann. God, I thought Hannah Ann had so much clarity during these two episodes. She was the voice of the audience, really. I feel really bad that she had to go through this. It does, like, it would suck to have your engagement taken away, like, 8 weeks after you got engaged, because Peter's too much of a dweeb to follow through with it. And, like, I wonder if he said yes to Maddie, if he would have done that to her to go back to Hannah Ann. Like, it feels like he wants what he can't have, or he wants a chase, or he wants there to be like problems.
Yeah. Gabby, you had some theories about why he was so drawn to Victoria F. And was it kind of because she was more avoidant of him? I remember you tweeting about that.
Yeah. So I had tweeted, my new obsession is attachment theory, which I'm so not an expert in, but I joke that I read this book Attached, highly recommend to anyone listening, because it explains basically, like, there are three attachment styles: anxious, secure, and avoidant. And based on my armchair psychologist assessment of Peter, I really feel like he's anxious attachment, which means like he is preoccupied with relationships. He needs to feel close to people. And I feel like we see that in him. I mean, the biggest example that comes to mind is him proposing to Hannah Ann, even though it seems like he likes Maddie more. And the reason for that is it's kind of like he doesn't want to be alone, right? He needs to be like attached to somebody. He needs to feel affection and feel needed. And that is like, I feel like what drives him. And it does seem like sometimes he wants what he can't have. And that would be like a sign of an activated attachment system, where if somebody is not giving themselves fully to you, like Victoria didn't throughout the season, or like Maddie wasn't towards the end, it almost like activates that thing inside of you that makes you want to be closer to that person, because it's like, okay, well, how do I get them to want me back? And I feel like it's really unhealthy. And we've seen Peter a few times in the season say, oh, I like this relationship because it's hard, or because it's dramatic. Like he says these things where I'm like, that is so unhealthy. Like a relationship is good if it's quote unquote boring, like just because it's stable. I feel like maybe when he's in a relationship with these secure type women where the relationship is more stable, he thinks it's boring. And that is just, it created so many problems in the season, because it's like, it felt like he didn't know what was good for him almost.
That's really interesting, because we did see when he was at the end in the finale with Maddie, he was saying things like, will it be, you know, an uphill battle? Yes. But, you know, do we have 1 million and one things to overcome? Things like that. And then we also saw his dad, when Chris finally went to his dad instead of Barb, saying, you know, at the beginning, especially, it shouldn't be, you know, there shouldn't be all these roadblocks. It should be like the happiest time. So
yeah, it made me wonder if I am like expertly lazy, because if a relationship was that hard, I'm not putting effort into it. What's the point? Like, there's so many other relationships that are just like smoother, and God, I guess, you know, that just says a lot about me, and I like to take the path of least resistance or whatever, but I just don't, you know, I guess that's something I look for in a relationship, and that's that it's not that difficult. Like, I want to have like a fun partner. I wanted a partnership, and I wanted to feel like an equal, like Hannah Ann, and I didn't want it to feel like, you know, they needed closure from three different people within like the 4 weeks of our engagement. Like, what is that about? Hannah Brown closure.
Yeah, I missed that the first time I watched it, and it took a friend texting me that he had reached out to Hannah Brown after the engagement because he wanted closure. And I wanted to ask you guys what you thought. Like, what closure do you think he needed? He was already engaged.
Yeah, and he already talked to her.
He's a nutso. He's insane. What else is there to say?
It's like he's addicted to the drama. Like,
or he is.
That's really, you know, I actually wasn't like the hugest Hannah Ann fan throughout the season. This past episode, the finale, was like the one where I saw a tweet that they were like, where has this girl been this whole season? And I completely agree. It's like, this was the first time I feel like she stood up for herself. And I don't know, like, if you can make me feel bad for Hannah Ann, then I feel like you're really messing up.
Right. Yeah. We like kind of came around on her, but really towards the end, we didn't, you know, she was the one causing drama at the beginning and stealing him. And we didn't expect her to be one of the ones making it all the way. And then she really, stood up for herself, made great points. And even Peter couldn't argue with her. He was just kind of like, you're right.
Peter's dumb. Like, he can't argue with anything.
He couldn't come up with anything.
It was so, so annoying to me in their little breakup scene. He makes me so angry. She was like, yeah, how do you feel about this? And he's like, oh, well, I'm just like really sad, like my heart's like broken, like I feel bad for doing this to you, and like I'm sorry. And she's like, what are you sorry for? And she's like, are you sorry for betraying me, because this is a betrayal? Are you sorry for leading me on and lying to me? And she's like, yes, you are sorry for those reasons. Okay, see ya. Like, couldn't even articulate why he was sorry or what it was that he was feeling. Like, he's just, like, Hannah Ann had to speak. Like, she didn't, like, there was no closure there because he didn't say anything.
Well, I think that's why it was so confusing, because it was like, okay, we could tell they were breaking up, but we didn't really mention specific reasons why. I wasn't clear if they had had any happy times between then and now.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like they hadn't seen each other since they got engaged.
Well, then Chris said they hadn't talked for a month.
Yeah, they hadn't talked, or like they hadn't seen each other. It was so confusing. I thought it was just
they hadn't seen each other. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, I'm sure they talked, but it's like she seemed to almost know that it was going to be not a good conversation when they started. So, and it was so confusing to me. Like, what happened? What was the catalyst? It was a whole mess.
Yeah, I had read that she had asked him beforehand, like, are you breaking up with me? Like, will you let me know if you are? And he said, no, I'm just like excited to see you, blah, blah, blah.
I read that too. Yeah. Which also, again, Peter.
Wasn't that kind of what happened to Becca and Ari too? Like, she was like, thought she was like just coming for a visit.
Yeah, I feel like Hannah Ann had a little more sense about it. I think Hannah Ann felt that there was something a little off. She obviously knew about him reaching out to Hannah Brown. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if he had reached out to Maddie in any specific way.
And this all went, and this visit went down, I think, end of January. So the season started airing early January.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always kind of interesting when something changes after it starts airing. And so, like, when they say the producers don't know how it's going to end, Peter doesn't know how it's going to end. That has to be very tricky to kind of navigate as producers. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the traditional ending that we saw, kind of that it was like a fast forward Bachelor ending at the beginning of last night's episode, part two. We saw the proposal and we saw him very briefly with Neil Lane. We saw him pick out the pear-shaped ring. We saw him call, like, a Ben Higgins move, FaceTime Maddie's dad. Gabby, what did you think of how this proposal went down? Were you feeling that there was that strong love there? And did it seem authentic and genuine at that point? Genuine and real?
It's such a... It's genuine and real. It's such a weird situation, as always, with every Bachelor season, because it's like, how are you crying over Madison 2 days ago and now you're so excited to get engaged? So to me, it didn't feel genuine, because I feel like the story we were already being told was like he would have chosen Madison if she were there. So I was honestly surprised he proposed at all. I thought maybe they were going to have a breakup. And like we were talking about earlier, I feel like that just speaks to like Peter couldn't be alone. He couldn't end up at the end of this show not engaged. Mm. That would have been the better thing to do.
Hannah had a feeling. She didn't want to come down. Like, she's like,
that was that cliffhanger. That was that thing.
You
want
to be feeling like that, like the day before or hours before your engagement. You don't want to be thinking, oh, the last thing my boyfriend said to me was his heart is being torn in two directions. Like, that's not romantic. She definitely had that gut feeling. Mm-hmm. And then during the proposal, it was the most bizarre thing how he brought up that Madison went home. And I think I'm not alone when he said Madison's name. I thought he like misspoke was calling Hannah Ann Madison.
Right.
He goes, anyway, so Madison,
she got this really weird look on her face.
Went home. Yeah, she like got pissed, and then he's like went home 2 days ago. So that's the thing too, which I feel like has been talked about, is he was so purposely vague with that makes it sound like she went home because it was either mutual or I sent her home or whatever. And I choose you. You're my final one. You're here. Not like Madison left and we had this tearful exchange and I'm heartbroken and like you're what's left, like you're my second choice. It was so misleading. And Hannah Ann said that after the final rose that he kind of buried it in there. I saw people saying online that Hannah Ann should have said, like, asked him for clarification. You're not gonna stop someone in the middle of a proposal to be like, oh wait, so exactly how did Madison leave? Like, all she heard was you're the only one left and I choose you and I love you. Will you marry me? Like, she's not going to be like, what exactly were the circumstances?
Exactly.
So very misleading on Peter's part.
Yeah. When he
again,
said
like,
that
I don't think I don't think he was being purposely misleading. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he has any concept or grasp of how what he does affects other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was even thinking about how, one thing that stood out to me when Hannah Ann was coming down, usually it's Chris greets each woman and says, like, how are you feeling? They get out of the limo and, you know, good luck. And they'll have a little exchange. When Hannah gets out, he just says, head straight down. Like, they were really, like, kind of playing up, I think, her doubt to kind of create that drama. Because we saw them promote that moment with Chris saying, like, we just found this out, and Peter feeling faint. And it seemed like they thought they were heading towards an ending that was going to be a traditional ending, and they had to like beef up the drama. And if there's only one proposal on that day, like, she's probably getting there early in the morning. So what is she going to think if, like, oh yeah, your call time is, you know, 8 a.m. or something. I could see her just even just having that doubt of like, well, why am I, you know, this early? Obviously it's not me. Why am I even gonna go? So I thought maybe even just like some of the circumstantial things would have played in. Haley, what do you think?
It was just I'm so annoyed with all of this.
Really, I was wondering if that was like produced when Chris said Hannah Ann's not even sure if she's coming. It was sort of like we didn't see any video evidence of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't see Hannah Ann talking to a producer and saying like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this. So I was kind of pissed because I was like, is this just a straight up lie? Like, is she actually just in the limo? Or like, maybe she said one sentence to a producer like, oh, I don't know if I should go. And then they were like, oh, we're definitely going to use this as a storyline. But it just seems so fabricated and unnecessary because it was already an interesting situation where she was the only one there. But maybe they were trying to push the narrative of like Peter's indecision and Peter's waffling made even the woman he was ultimately going to choose made her indecisive too. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I believe if she was really hesitating on coming or not.
Right. Yeah. And it's like we were building up that moment, and it's just another one of those times where we see these previews and they don't turn out to be anything like the big revelation that we thought it would be, the fence jump with Colton. That actually was a fence jump, and that was something unprecedented. But this was, you know, I thought, you know, is Maddie going to come back or something? But no, it wasn't anything like that. And let's see. So I also thought her reaction was kind of weird. Like, oh my word, you love me? Oh my gosh. Like, it was kind of this really odd way to, but I guess, I don't know.
It's a weird situation when you're here. I love you right before you're getting proposed to. But I think she was just so sure she wasn't getting picked because because of her gut, which ended up being right, that was telling her like, he loves Madison more than me. So she was just like, wait, you actually love me?
It's like, yeah, me?
An unhealthy way to get engaged.
Right. And then we get a segment of him telling his family, drawing that out. So this was, Haley, I think the happiest day of their life when he announced who he got engaged to.
Yeah. I wonder if they knew something was going to be up eventually because of we've never seen this before, right? Like this telling of the family?
No, I can't think of it.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. Or they just knew that she would have a super dramatic reaction to it.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, yeah, he's like, yeah, so I, you know, you haven't heard anything that's been happening in Australia since. Well, I am with somebody and that somebody is engaged to me. And I am planning a future with a person who was on The Bachelor with me.
Who is it?
Who is my person? And that person is Hannah Ann. And then they like freak out.
Burst into tears.
They like scream cry.
I guess we should have, you know, this was the preview into like they were clearly like not, none of them were going to be happy until like he said which name it was, you know? So, flash forward to how they react at the, after the final rose, I guess, maybe we shouldn't have been so surprised, but I didn't think they would maybe be that honest on live TV. But they were. So,
we all have partners. Have your in-laws ever screamed at your existence?
No.
Yeah, I can't say
like
that.
My in-laws love me, and I don't think they'd ever react like that.
Yeah. It's pretty much like worst case scenario, like that, like you don't want your significant other's mother to be actively like rolling her eyes / like gagging at one point possibly, like, right. At you being a person
or cheering for someone else like telling off your son, like who you're dating.
Oh my gosh. Barb was all over the place, but I was kind of living for it. Like I thought she was the star of last night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so is there anything else we have to say about the actual episode itself, or can we go into the after the final rose?
Yeah, we already covered the breakup at that house. So yeah, I think after the final rose, we get the Hannah Ann segment first. And
again, she says some really wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And I saw like a tweet or a meme or something that was like McKenna taking notes on Bachelor in Paradise speeches based on Hannah's or whatever.
Steal some lines.
Yeah.
If you want to be with a woman, you've got to be a real man. You've got to grow up, right?
She Googled it beforehand, or she looked it up on Pinterest.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that's where we got the revelation about Hannah Brown. She threw that in there. So that was kind of just a new random thing to learn. And then, oh, we saw the segment with, then after that, we saw the segment where Chris Harrison flies out to see Maddie and claimed that Peter didn't know about that.
For what reason? For what damn reason?
So weird. And then he says, Peter doesn't know I'm here, blah, blah, blah. But, and then he starts saying, it's Peter's dream to be engaged to you. And like, I'm like, what? You haven't talked to Peter. Like, Peter just got broken up with. It was such a weird, like, medley thing, but it was so outwardly medley that I don't know why, like, we're okay with it. Like, okay. It was also like, we've had in the past, you know, we've had with Ari, or these other people that have like changed their minds. The Bachelor is free to reach out to whoever he wants. Like he has Instagram, he knows how to find Madison. So it was really weird to me that Chris Harrison is like, I haven't spoken to Peter, but he really misses you. And he broke up off his engagement because of you, when we had not heard that from Peter. And if Peter really wanted to see Madison, he could have slid into her DMs and been like, hey, I just thought you should know, blah, 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 or whatever. It was so like creepy, like stepdad-ish of him.
And again, right. It was like, what happened at the end in Australia? Well, Peter got engaged.
Long
but now pause. He's a single man. And she like cries. Oh, so just like, imagine crying over Peter. Like, just imagine. Like, we would have done that at the beginning of the season. Now we can't stand him. Like, I'm so mad.
Do you think it crossed her mind when she saw Chris Harrison walking in there that maybe he was, like, doing what he did with Hannah Brown and being like, hey, so we'd love you to be the next Bachelorette. And then this was like, she's crying because that didn't happen.
Maybe.
Yeah, anything would be less disappointing than ending up with Peter.
Yeah, that was really odd when he was like, I think his dream would be to end up with you. And
yeah, like his dream. Wow. Damn, it was so strange. Who are all these random adults like deciding what Peter's dreams are for him?
Well, Peter can't decide for himself, obviously.
Yeah. Exactly. He can't. He needs his mom and he needs Chris Harrison to decide everything for him. Okay, the other thing I thought was weird was, like, I guess I still don't get why Madison and him and Peter are together or like are trying to make this work again when nothing has changed from the initial circumstances that caused them to break up. Mm-hmm. And it's like, is it just because she missed him or like when she left, she regretted it, but that doesn't change the circumstance that caused her to leave in the first place.
Love conquers all, don't you know? Yeah, so that's not something we've really gotten into on this episode, was that we continue the conversation of, well, are they even compatible? Like, Madison is super religious and she has certain values that she'd like to stick to, and she wants her husband to be a faith leader in the house. It doesn't seem like that's something Peter is particularly interested in. He's willing to pretend to for Madison, but it didn't seem like that's... I just don't think he has a spine to like be the leader in his household. Like, I'm sorry. And Peter likes to go out and line dance. Like, you're really going to take that away from him?
Yeah. So clearly, like, if line dancing is that big of an issue, it must be her religion, that there's some religions where you can't dance. And she obviously seems like she doesn't drink. And they talk about, because he gave her sparkling apple cider on that date. And some of those lifestyle things we didn't find out about.
I will say they tried to make that look like Madison and a lifestyle thing. But I read, and I've gotten confirmation from my Australian correspondent, Millie, that you're not allowed to drink any alcohol in sacred sites. Especially in that region of Australia. So any of the area around Uluru is considered a sacred site where you cannot drink alcohol. So that is why they're drinking sparkling apple cider. But they made it look like it look like it was just another roadblock for them to have to overcome.
Interesting.
Yeah, they did. Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, or her the benefit of the doubt for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like the line dancing. Like, I just don't know if I can get over that she doesn't want to line dance every night.
Now we know that they weren't lying when he had that date with Victoria P and they went line dancing. He said he loves line dancing. I thought maybe it was just like saying that for the show, but it's a really big part of his lifestyle.
It's a huge part of his personality.
Planes and line dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what his brother, he was like, you get off the plane, you head straight to the, like, so it just sounded like he like got off the plane, headed straight to the club to go line dancing. Well, I don't know, what is it called? Country? The saloon. Yeah.
The saloon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when she like chose to walk away, I was really like kind of rooting that on, like, wow, we've never, that I can recall, seen someone in the final two choose to leave at that point and have really valid reasons for doing so. A little late, you might say, like, could have done that. Why didn't that come up after her hometown? If it just took her that long to kind of really sink in or realize, like, what it would mean with his family and that they just weren't compatible, and kind of make the choice like, I want to step away so you can have the ending that you deserve, and as hard as it is, but then to be back home, you know, what is she really stewing over? It didn't seem like she was stewing over like, okay, like, I think I can accept these differences. It just seemed like maybe she missed him and was regretting leaving. But yeah, I have to agree with you, Gabby. After we saw them back together and not really knowing if they even are together, they just kind of said they're taking it day by day. So I'm still at a loss at what's going on.
Yeah, it's like maybe she got a feeling that if he was willing to take her back so many times, or like if he ended his engagement, that he was more malleable than she was. And it's like, I think his mom, Barb, said that, where it's like one person was willing to compromise and one person wasn't. And I wasn't sure if she meant like Hannah Ann was and Maddie wasn't, or if she meant Peter was willing to compromise. And it seems like Madison hasn't. And I don't think, you know, I think a lot of the defense of Maddie has been like, she shouldn't have to sacrifice her morals and like, it's good for her. And I totally agree with that. But my huge question is like, there are so many guys that fit those descriptors of what you're looking for, of like a leader in faith and blah, 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 blah. And it's not Peter. So like, why?
Go to Bible study.
It's like, if only she were on like Colton's season or something. And it's just like, you knew who the bachelor was. Okay, maybe you can't help it if you develop feelings. Then you have the thing where I definitely agree that she brought it up way too late. And it's like, then you have this whole girl power thing of, okay, you're standing up for what you want, because this is also your journey and you have to decide if you like the lead as well, not just for the lead to pick you.
And that's great. And I completely agree with that. But when the lead doesn't match what you want, then what are we all doing here?
Exactly. And then it all unravels. So, okay, you walk away because he doesn't match it. That's great. We've seen that before with, you know, people leave, the contestants leaving because the lead isn't what they want. And that's great. I like when it's a two-way street. But it completely basically undid everything she said when they got back together, because it's, I don't know what caused it. Part of me thinks maybe it was that she wanted some kind of grand gesture, kind of like how Colton jumped the fence for Cassie. She wanted a similar thing where it was like, if you're going to pick me, you cannot sleep with the other two women. I want a gesture. I want my fence jumping moment. And she didn't get that. Mm. Then she stays with him. And then it's like, well, she just seemed like she always wanted something from him, but wasn't communicating what she needed from him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I agree with all that. It's just, I completely, absolutely respect her decision for what she wants in a relationship. But I just don't know what she's doing here. Like, Peter got picked because he did it in a windmill four times.
Yeah, it's not him. It's not him. Like,
he got picked alone on his sexual stamina. Like, you can, there's a thousand guys who are going to be in your DMs and be exactly what you want.
Yep.
This guy is not it. He's not, you know, she said something what I thought was like pretty poignant in the episode before, which is that, you know, great, you can fight for love, but sometimes, you know, fighting for love is stepping away when you know it's not right anymore.
Exactly.
So, like, just, is he that great?
Undermined her own message.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you can't get over what happened in the fantasy suites, then how are you going to get over that he proposed to someone else?
And definitely was being intimate in those, you know, weeks that they get to visit each other. Like, that's, right. Nothing's changed. In fact, it's gotten worse.
Yeah. So
it's frustrating. So needless to say, I think it sounds like all three of us think that they are not a good match. And I think that's why it was a frustrating finale, because you want it, you do, even if we dislike Peter, like, you want there to be closure in the sense of, okay, well, he ended up with who he belongs with. Like, even, mm-hmm. I didn't like Ari on his season, but I was like, whatever, at least he ended up with Lauren. He clearly is crazy about her. With this, it was just like, are you guys even happy? Do you want to be together? Like, this is not going to work. And I was happy that Barb called them out on it, because it needed to be said.
Yes, and it was a great TV moment, unlike anything else we've seen on.
Truly, truly striking television. I will say, I was not able to watch the episode live last night, so I just kind of read through Twitter because I'm despy and can't not know. And I thought the Barb Madison spat was going to be way worse than it actually was, honestly. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought they were both able to get their points across and why it's not great for either of them. But again, Madison, if it's that tough and his family doesn't seem to like you particularly much, what's the point? Especially for somebody who says she's very family oriented and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, if your future mother-in-law doesn't like you, it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what's, and I think the main issue that people had was, you know, okay, if I take that I want good TV out of the equation, if I want good family relationships, healthy family relationships, should Barb have just said, like, we trust our son with his decision, and yeah, we loved Hannah Ann, and these were the circumstances why, you know, Madison, you know, we didn't feel that connection with her at first, but we want to get to know her better, or something.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like both of them had good points, and I I did think that Barb kind of overstepped some boundaries. It is Peter's decision. She doesn't get to make that choice. I feel like what Madison did was not that bad. And I feel like her saying, you know what? I am in love with Peter. Like, I know that now. Just we had a really tough conversation. And I just couldn't feel in that moment. I feel like that would have been like a sufficient answer. Maybe not for Barb, because like it seems like she's a type of woman, once you burn a bridge, like it's charred.
Nothing's good enough for her.
Yeah.
She definitely, she strikes me as like, I mean, she's like, she's Cuban, right? I don't know. My mom's Filipino. I feel like it's very similar. Like women of color are like very passionate women when it comes to their families and their sons, like, because I've seen it in my family. But I think Madison could have just apologized. Would that have helped? I think you're right.
Probably.
I think once Barb makes up her mind, she makes up her mind. And I got the sense that she wanted to almost like be on record on national TV as being like, mother's always right. I know this isn't going to work. And like, I just want to be on TV being shown that I don't approve of this, which is like not the most supportive thing to do for your child.
No, it's like, do you really wish that this relationship doesn't work out just so you can be right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's so petty in a way. Like it definitely would have been more appropriate for a one-on-one setting, which you have to assume they've had those conversations. Maybe she felt like this was like her final plea, albeit extremely unhealthy, albeit very manipulative and controlling, almost like, I need to say this to the world. None of his family, none of his friends think that they are compatible. Like she wanted proof.
Did she send out like a Survey Monkey or like quiz? Like what's going on?
Right. It's like, are all of Peter's friends talking about him behind his back? I don't know.
Did she send out a group text or how did she know?
Yes, my 25-year-old son, all his friends. And then did you notice when Chris Harrison finally went to Peter's dad, she was kind of muttering under her breath like to him, and she was speaking in Spanish, and I heard her say, ayúdame, like help me out with like what you're gonna say, better support what I'm gonna say. and I thought maybe Peter's dad would be, he was more diplomatic in the way he phrased it, but he still was not on the side of Peter and Maddie. Do you think they thought that they were about to get engaged? I mean, Neil Lane was in the audience.
Oh my gosh. I would hope not, for everyone's sake.
Yeah, if they were blindsided with an engagement, I think it would have been like a 3-hour finale.
They would have lit the place on fire.
Yeah, I saw that online that people deciphered what she said in Spanish to saying there was disagreement. Some people thought she said, say something bad, help me. And then some people were saying mal sounds like mas, and it was unclear what she was saying, where they were just saying, she was saying, say something more and help me. Mm-hmm. And either way, it's sort of like, the point is she was like,
you better support me.
Back me up. Yeah. You better back me up. This may explain a lot about Peter and his decision-making ability or lack thereof.
For sure.
For sure.
Especially because he lives at home.
Oh my gosh.
Which I did not even realize.
Awkward night back at the house.
I know. He needs to move out.
Yeah.
If this is going to have the slightest chance of working. But yeah, I mean, I feel like if Maddie didn't handle it well either. You know, I do think Barb overstepped the line, but then I did go on Twitter and say, I stand Barb, because I loved how little she cared about like how she was going to come across. She just had to get her opinion out there. And I've got to respect that. Like so many people on TV are worried about coming across nice and having people like them. And I feel like Maddie did that when Maddie was just sort of spouting like platitudes where she's like, well, it is what it is. And it was my journey. And I would never say a mean thing about his family. And it's like, the audience was clapping and I was like screaming at my TV, like, she's not saying anything. She's not saying anything. She's not responding to anything Barb is saying. She's just like saying general cliches and getting claps out of it. And I feel like all she had to do was say, I'm really sorry we didn't get off on the right foot. Peter and I were having a really hard conversation, and I'm really sorry I made you wait 3 hours. And, you know, at that time I was hesitant. I didn't know if I loved your son, but now I know that I do. And I really, because I love him, I want to be a part of your family. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I feel like I just
like anything.
Made that up. Like anything, like better than, like, I need to give her cue cards in the audience, because anything she should have said anything similar to that rather than like not address any of the issues. It was so like, ugh, just nothingness. Well,
yeah. Well, I think we can jump into questions, because if there's something that we've missed, our audience will let us know through the questions on what we should have been covering and what they still have questions on. And in between that, I'll do a brief mention of the draft that Haley and I so tragically lost.
What draft?
Dismal. Because Matt Liguori had both Madison and Hannah Ann, so he was prepared for any sort of ending that could have been. And wins with 225 points. I was in a distant second with 172. Haley with 113. Haley, I think that means you get to go first next time.
Yay!
And they released Claire. They already released like the cast for Claire's season, or the potential cast. So
they're all 12 and a half. Okay, so the wonderful, lovely Emily Scherr made a nice little infographic that she's great at doing. Go check it out on Twitter. I can't remember what her Twitter handle is right now. Oh, God. Usually I know it right off the top of my head. I think it's like M Sure or something. Whatever. You just whatever. Emily, just tell us what it is. So the average age of the contestants is, can you guess?
Oh,
28.6. Wow.
Claire is 38.
Yeah, so 10 years younger than her.
The oldest is 42. The youngest is 23.
Barf.
Oh, my gosh. So they didn't really adjust the casting too much after they switched course.
That's so annoying.
Yeah.
Poor Claire.
25-year-olds, 5-26-year-olds, 5-27-year-olds, 5-28-year-olds, 2-29-year-olds, 2-30-year-olds, 2-31-year-olds, 2-33-year-olds, 1-36-year-old, 1-38-year-old, and 1-42-year-old. So they're obviously casting for Bachelor in Paradise and hoping that there's like 3.5 guys there that Claire might like.
I want the 42-year-old in Bachelor in Paradise.
Like, yeah.
I just want to see that.
It's just upsetting. And I had such high hopes. I had heard a rumor that they weren't casting anyone under 30. And why did I believe it? I'm so stupid. Like, they couldn't even give you half the cast. They're like over 30. They're like just 30 and up.
Yeah, I would love it if it was 50-50 at least, like split over 30 and under 30, because then we could maybe see like warring factions in the house and like old school, new school.
There's 21 guys who are younger than me. Haley Elizabeth Patricia Strong, who was born in September of 1991.
That's crazy.
If I was dating a 38-year-old, my parents would have questions. Claire is too good for this. They should not be treating Claire like this. I am mad, and I will not email the Bachelor producers, but I will talk shit about it on the internet. That's for sure.
I'm gonna be really mad if they do like a promotion and like do like cougar themed like promo ads and stuff.
I will send
better
a letter
not
to you. A handwritten letter.
All right, well, let's jump into these questions and think of more positive things, hopefully, before we have to cover Claire's season, because we were so excited. And yeah, that's kind of a downer. Well, before we get to questions, Haley, I'm a little concerned now that Bachelor is coming to an end. We have a little bit of an off season here. We're not going to be podcasting. How are you going to be filling up that time?
I am going to be filling it up with some audiobooks from Audible. They have some great books online. If you want to stick to the Bachelor stuff, you can find some Bachelor books like Bachelor Nation by Amy Kaufman. Amanda Stanton's book you can listen to if you want. That's an option for you.
It's Not Okay by Andy Dorfman is on there, narrated by Andy. So, you know, you want to revisit Juan Pablo's season and all these like people that are still in the Bachelor ethos right now. It's very relevant. It's just so fun to download a book and hear from the author and have that kind of just have that experience throughout your day. And
it's like a different connection. And we're not going to be around for you to listen to for the next 2 months.
Sadly.
So why not listen to an audiobook?
Yeah, on Audible, you can download titles, listen offline, anytime, anywhere. The app is free, can be installed on all smartphones and tablets, and you can listen across your devices without losing your spot, which I'm always losing my spot in podcasts, so it's very nice to like have that option. If you can't decide what to listen to, don't worry if you're busy that month, you're not sure. You can keep your credits for up to a year and use them to binge on a whole series if you like. And Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers, celebrity memoirs, news, business, and self-development. Basically, anything that you can think of, you can find. And we've got a great offer, Haley.
Yeah, so if you want to find your next great book, just visit audible.com/batch or text batch to 500-500. And again, that's visit audible.com/batch, B-A-C-H, or text batch to 500-500.
Yes, and be sure to let us know what you decided to listen to on your free trial.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Couple questions relating to kind of ranking different atypical endings. So this is from Dan. He says, for the past five seasons have had non-traditional endings. Ari, Colton, Hannah B. and Peter, rank them from most dramatic to least dramatic.
I'd say Ari's is the most dramatic.
Okay.
Hannah's is the second most. Colton's is the third most. And Peter's is the fourth. Ari's because we haven't seen anything like that in a long time. Hannah's because we really haven't seen anything like that. And I think Colton's was different, but I feel like over the last two or three episodes of that season, we kind of figured out what was going on. It wasn't... Peter doesn't even know what he's doing at this exact moment. And Peter's, I don't know, it didn't feel that dramatic because I just didn't care that much. I didn't care about him. I didn't care about the women. I didn't care.
And then this is from Allie. Please rank the following bachelors by how scummy they handled their finale. So we have Jason, Juan Pablo, Ari, and Peter. Gabby, what do you think was the scummiest?
Okay. So Juan Pablo's, I actually stopped watching, and that's the only season I've stopped watching because he was the worst. So maybe he automatically gets worst spot because I can't even comment on it. And then who were the other ones we were talking to?
Jason, Ari, options? And Peter.
So. Oh, Ari next. Definitely. I hated him at that time. It was so infuriating. Then Peter, for all of the formerly explained reasons over the past 45 minutes. And then Jason. Jason's was he was sad. He was sobbing and you kind of felt for him. Oh, man, these guys, they've all been the most hated men in America at one point. So they're right.
And Jason's had the longest distance between it, has a successful relationship
now
for a long time. So I think, the the distance between when that happened and now it's like he's one of the success stories.
Exactly. And, you know, good for Ari that they ended up in a success story, too. So maybe I'd switch him with Peter, because at least Ari's was successful. They have a baby now, but I do not see Peter and Madison staying together long term at all.
Right.
I've also heard some rumors.
Ooh, what?
That I don't know if we noticed, but Kelly was in the audience tonight.
Yes.
So I've heard rumors that, you know, Peter and Maddie don't follow each other on Instagram. One person that all of Peter's family does follow on Instagram is Kelly, and they often comment on her things. So a rumor I've heard, and again, this is a rumor, so don't take it with a rock of salt or whatever, that Peter and Kelly are actually together, and Maddie is dating some guy in the seminary.
So why come sit next to each other on stage? What was the point?
Yeah, I feel like they would have shown that. I definitely heard that rumor too, and I was praying for that to be the answer. And I feel like they were trolling us when they said, "And Kelly's here," and they kept zooming in on her.
It was a big part of the season.
It's important she's here, even though she wasn't at Women Tell All.
Yeah, right. She wasn't at Women Tell All. She wasn't supposedly not invited. So it's like, they were just on Reddit and saw all the rumors and decided literally to troll the audience or something.
Yeah, Kyle Picard had that question. Why was she in the audience? And yeah, I think it was totally a trolling. You know, they had Neil Lane on standby. They were just, you know, playing into this, like, anything can happen. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it was weird because I did hear rumors that she was not invited to Women Tell All. I don't know why. I don't know if that's true, obviously. So maybe she just couldn't attend. And then, she attended this instead. I saw jokes online that she was in attendance in case, somebody needed like a divorce on the spot or needed a restraining order on the spot.
Awesome.
as a lawyer.
And then Allie also says, "Haley and Amy, is it just me or am I the only one who loves Barb? She tells it like it is. Peter and Madison won't last. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Hannah Ann is awesome, right? Where was this girl all season?" So I think we are all in agreement on that.
Yes, I loved Barb. She was telling you like it is. And I feel like I watched that scene twice because I wanted to be sure. I was like, what did she say that was so bad when I started seeing all the hate? And I'm like, she just dropped truth bombs in a very undiplomatic way and not a very graceful way. But she made points. She made points.
Mm-hmm. And then this is from George. He says, "Okay, I'm still in shock. What are the chances Peter's parents decide to renew their vows again just so they can have the experience again and redo all the pictures without Madison present?" That'd be so petty. I could see Barb doing it.
They're just going to cut her head out like, right? Like serial killer style. They're just going to like literally cut her face out of all the pictures.
Right. And then he says, "And if the choice was up to Peter's mom, Barb, who would she select as the next bachelorette? Claire or Hannah Ann?" I think she wants Hannah Ann still. Peter, right?
What to date Peter? Yeah. Would she want Hannah to date Peter?
Barb gave Claire a huge hug at the end and like hugged her. I think she wanted Peter to end up with Claire.
Oh. I saw that. Yeah, I know. She's probably like, Barb is playing the field now. Barb's like, "Are you interested in my shitty son?"
And then George says, "Do all future seasons need to scrap the Women Tell All and Men Tell All and instead start to have a Parents Tell All? Get all the parents and family members of the final four on the stage together. Watch the fireworks go off. Thanks for a fun season. You have been my rock all season long."
That's adorable. Oh my gosh. I kind of wanted to hear from like Maddie's dad, who is like that really conservative basketball coach, right? Who was during hometown saying things that I found a little creepy. That was like, "You're so pure and you're
I cringe anytime anybody talks about purity, just like
I know.
Any connotation whatsoever.
Yes, it was so creepy. I want to see him and Barb go at it. Barb's like, "Yeah, my son had sex in a windmill four times," and he's like, "You are pure. You must never touch a man."
Oh, that'd be so good. And then Casey I was glad to get a bit more context on why Peter's entire family seemed to hate Maddie so much in Australia, but why did she still not apologize? It seems like she offended not only his drama queen mom, but his itty-bitty brother too, which is what makes me think that what Barb said was actually true. But Maddie just sat there saying, like, well, this is my journey too, and I'm going to be me. Guaranteed, if Peter treated her family like that, he'd be out the door. So it seems like a double standard that Maddie thinks she can be mean to his family, and that's just her being her.
Couldn't agree more with that person. That's what I was talking about earlier. Like, all she had to do was apologize. And she answered that, you know, accusation or whatever, that story about making them wait 3 hours, blah, 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 with like things that had nothing to do with it. Like, she's like, it is what it is. And I'm just being myself. And it's like, what? That has nothing to do with like, you know, making the man you supposedly loves family feel like you want to be there and you're excited to meet them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learn how to apologize.
Right.
She's 23. She doesn't know how yet.
Oh my God. Is she 23? Oh my God.
I know Hannah Ann was 23. Everyone. I don't know if
I think she
Madison was 23, but I'm not going to look it up.
I think that's right. This is from Andrea. Amy, Haley, hello. Not really a question, but a funny thing I saw. My university has a stuff profs say page, and this popped up, and so it says, know your trees, it can help with your love life. This was said by a professor Pinheiro, and Andrea says, maybe Peter didn't know his trees enough to be with Hannah Ann, considering the fact that they referenced how impressed Hannah Ann's dad would be if Peter could name every tree in the yard. Does this prof know something I don't? Thanks for the podcast, y'all rock. How can trees help your love life?
I don't know. It's just like a fun trivia. Or, you know, stuff about things that are solid. I don't know.
Hmm.
You just never know.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think he got her dad's blessing anyway, right?
Yeah.
I would have liked, speaking of families, I would have loved her dad to be on too.
How awkward was Peter's arm holding the phone in that?
I don't remember.
Oh, it was so weird.
What do you mean?
Like, I'll have to go back and send you a screenshot. His arm was like at a complete 90 degree angle, like super far out.
That's so funny.
He doesn't know how to FaceTime.
It was like he's never held a phone before.
Well, I mean, they haven't had one in a while. Maybe he was just like, wait, what is this thing? Like, my hand doesn't work anymore. These are questions from Facebook in the patron group. So Rob has a website. .com/patron to learn about the benefits of becoming a patron, or is it /Patreon? Probably both work, but
what a great question. if you want to support us in any way, you can A, send us nice tweets about how much you love us, and B, join the Rob Has a Podcast Patreon.
It's super fun to get those bonus podcasts. That's my favorite part of, you know, getting the 5 for 5. Haley, I know you love interacting in the Facebook group and putting up the question thread.
God, so, I love a Facebook group. I can't help myself.
Totally. So this is from Mackenzie Beyonce Harms. Was it just me, or did it seem like Hannah Ann already knew they were going to break up when she arrived at the house in California? She seemed over him from the moment she got there, especially when he sat next to her on the couch and attempted to adjust her body physically to entwine around his. Ugh.
Yeah, if you're planning on breaking up with me, please don't throw my legs over your dick. I have no interest.
I
think that covers that.
had an inkling. Will Holston, who hated Peter as the Bachelor more, you or his own mother?
God, it seems like his mom, right?
She was applauding when Hannah Ann was breaking up with him. That was like the funniest thing.
You know, I respect a person who doesn't believe that their kid is the be all and end all of everything. Yeah. It seemed like she had a good sense that he effed up.
But it's weird because it was like she did think that until that point, like until he he did something that she didn't agree with.
Exactly. That's what was so funny. Yeah, right. That's it. She did think he was the end all be all until then.
Well, Holston, do you think Madison and Peter were in communication while he was still engaged to Hannah Ann, or do you buy the sequence of events as presented?
I feel like if he reached out to Hannah Brown, I feel like he had to have reached out to Maddie in some way. You know, I don't think it was necessarily like how Ari reached out to Lauren, but it's hard for me to believe that there was just like no contact whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is like he seemed like he would follow to the letter the rules of the show. So if they were saying like, nope, you can't reach out or something, I could see him being one of the few that might do that. And
and
really, like, he thought Chris Harrison was showing up when Madison actually showed up in that backyard. So maybe he thought like, okay, I'm just going to follow the sequence of events that they want. So yeah, I'm not sure. Billy Westcott. So Hannah Ann is essentially a lock for VIP, right? Or better yet, why not pursue Jack Weber? He's only 2 years older than her, and it would be clear that his parents would accept her. Hannah Ann has some options.
Oh, creepy. I could not imagine dating my significant other's younger brother after all that. Plus, hey,
former
Instagram.
Significant other.
Yeah. Yeah, true. He has a girlfriend and she looks very adorable. Wouldn't it be great to be, gosh, what's his name? Is it like Jack or am I making that up? Jack. He's just like, wow, I'm definitely the favorite child. And then Jack's girlfriend is like, sweet, I'm so glad to know that your mom accepts me.
Yeah.
Like he's definitely the favorite child right now.
Sure.
But like, I'd be afraid if I was the girlfriend to like mess up one day.
Mm.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
There's some rap there.
Yeah, but I do expect we'll see Hannah Ann on Paradise, as will we probably see Maddie if they don't work out, and hopefully a lot of the other I don't know why I said hopefully. I don't really care to see any of these girls again, but I'm sure we will be seeing probably. Many of them, as it seemed like they were made for VIP more than they were made for the main show.
Totally. I think they've got, I don't know who they're going to get from another season. I think they've got the whole cast right
in this season. It'll just be a redo of this cast.
Oh, God. And then let's see. Emily Hawk says, anyone think it's a curious coincidence that he ended up with a final two consisting of the girl named Hannah and the girl from Alabama? Hannah Ann was spot on saying there were three women involved in the relationship, even subliminally. Ooh, I did not even pick up on that.
I think it's creepy and hilarious at the same time.
Yes.
Well, Holston, is Barb the greatest parent character we've ever seen on this show?
She has to be. Like, whether or not you liked Barb, you loved Barb, you hated Barb, she was a great character.
Yeah, who else would be on that Mount Rushmore? Like, Rachel's dad, who didn't show up? Yeah, JoJo's mom.
Dean's dad.
Oh, Dean's dad,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of being memorable.
Desiree's brother.
Yeah, that's a good one. Going far back. Malia Eggleston, is the couch where Hannah Ann and Peter broke up the same one where Hannah and Jed and Ari and Becca broke up? If so, they really need to invest in some new furniture and sage the shit out of the place to get rid of all that bad relationship juju.
I think they just keep finding different Airbnbs.
This one had a photo booth in the hallway. That stood out to me that I didn't remember that from before. So
I thought Hannah Ann was going to go cry in that.
That would have been good.
And then pose.
Throwing up a peace sign.
Yeah. So throw up the middle finger, print it out, stick it to his forehead. Peace out.
And then Aaron Joyce, why was Madison not okay with Peter sleeping with someone else, but was totally fine with him being engaged to someone else?
It's just a mystery, a total mystery.
Yeah, no logic whatsoever.
Justin Feinberg, will Peter's parents renew their vows again? Oh, we already had a question similar. I could see it happening. I mean, they were renewing them at like 41 years or 29, 31 years, or I don't know. It's a weird number.
Please don't make me relive this season. Yeah.
So they could redo it easily. let's see. And then he also asks, is Hannah Ann becoming the most mature person out of this season's final four women, and Peter the biggest plot twist in Bachelor history?
Yeah. Nobody liked Hannah Ann at the beginning of the season. Now we're all like Hannah stans.
Oh,
Hannah Stan.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll go that far. No, I think she shows like what a difference it is when you actually say what you want to say and you don't just like mold to be some like lab created perfect Instagram influencer who just wants to get further on the season. It was like once there were no more stakes, like once she was like, well, it's the end of the season, so I can finally say what I want. That was the first time she had a personality, or like you liked her.
That's a good point. And then Justin says, well, Peter's parents soon be filing papers to disown Peter and adopt Hannah Ann. You know, she did say it was her daughter. How do you think Mr. and Mrs. Sluss would react to such a bold move attempt at claiming their daughter? Would Hannah Ann accept Peter's parents' offer in order to rid herself of the last name Sluss?
Yeah, she's willing to marry Peter to get rid of it, so...
And then he also says, what is the biggest love story to come out of 2 decades of the Bachelor franchise, and how is it Chris Harrison's love of unnecessary visits to the state of Alabama?
Oh, that's funny.
And then Felipe Shimon, so the producers didn't let Peter tell Hannah Ann that Madison left, right? Okay, I'm with Felipe on that. I think they steered him away from that.
Yeah, because, well, maybe they said, we'll tell her, because at the end, he was like, well, did you guys tell her? And Chris was like, not unless you told her, she doesn't know.
That's true, I remember that.
He expected his, like, parents to do it for him, as usual. Right. I think, I don't know if I buy that, that he wasn't allowed to tell her. I think maybe he didn't want to tell her because he was scared of her leaving.
Hmm.
And then the other questions we have, this is just a comment. Matt Gagan just says, Gabby with 6 heart eye emojis. Will Seaman says, tell Gabby she's my favorite. And Justin Feinberg says, P.S. tell Gabby I say hi because I never got a chance to standing in line at Philadelphia Know-It-Alls, even though I was about 5 feet from her. She seemed busy and I didn't know what to approach her with. I wish I knew before that she was a Bachelor fan.
Oh, my gosh. That makes it sound like there was like a queue to meet me, and there definitely wasn't. I probably was just like deep in conversation about something equally as dumb as The Bachelor. So definitely just say hi with The Bachelor, or like a good, nice glass of wine. And hi to Matt also.
And Will.
Gabby. Oh, and Will too? Yes. Oh, I didn't even. There's too many names. I love both of them.
Yeah, we are so excited to have you. Are there any other Bachelor-esque type shows that you watch that you love?
Oh my gosh.
Love is Blind or anything like that?
No, that's like next on my list with my girlfriends who I watch The Bachelor with. That's going to like replace our weekly get together. So we're going to binge that. But I watch a bunch of stuff like that. I watch Love Island. I watch 90 Day Fiancé. I watch TLC shows like Married at First Sight, which I feel like is similar to Love is Blind.
Yeah. Hey, it's way crazier. So I don't know. I had one of my friends that we were group chatting with, and she doesn't watch a whole lot of reality television. She's not like us. Anyway, she was like, yeah, Love is Blind. Like, that's the craziest show I've ever seen. I'm like, really?
Yeah, don't you think Netflix is like bringing people into the world of reality TV? I was kind of thinking the exact same thing with The Circle. People were like, The Circle is crazy. And I was like, guys, watch Survivor. Like, it's literally The Circle, but more interesting because you're like on an island, not just like in a little box. And so it's like Netflix is bringing reality TV to like, I want to say the mainstream, even though I already think reality TV is mainstream, but it is almost like frustrating in a way as us like intense fans where we're like, we've been trying to tell you this for years. Like, it's good. It's entertaining. We don't just watch it for no reason. Like, welcome to the club.
Yeah it's so funny. It's so funny that people are like, you know, people that you wouldn't really expect to catch on to these shows are actually catching on.
Like celebrities were tweeting about Love is Blind. And The Circle. So maybe like Survivor needs to find its way onto one of those kind of streaming platforms and not just on All Access or something.
Yeah, it does. I feel like if Survivor aired anew, like aired fresh on mm-hmm. Hulu or Netflix, people would be like, guys, there's this crazy show on TV. It's like such a great social experiment. But because people have this idea of it from 20 years ago, they're like, that show's still on? Because honestly, Love is Blind is like, doesn't sound that different from 90 Day Fiancé, which is, or from what did I say earlier? Not 90 Married Day Fiancé.
It is, yeah, it is less crazy than both Married at First Sight and 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
Both are like way more batshit crazy.
Yes. And those have been on for ages. So it's almost just like, these shows are out. If you guys like these shows, they're out there. And I feel like it's the same with The Bachelor. Every season, I feel like I get a new friend to watch it, mostly because they want to watch it with us. So we just invite them every Monday, and without fail, everybody gets hooked. And it's like, there's a reason that we watch it every season. Like, we're not just wasting. Well, we are wasting.
We are absolutely wasting yeah. our
4 hours.
But it becomes
It's addictive. And I think when you watch so many seasons of it, it develops patterns, and like you have these social commentaries on it. It's like you read deeper into it, as silly as that sounds. So no, it's always good to chat with people like you ladies with that, you know, are big reality TV fans and can actually dissect what is going on our TV screens.
Yeah. And it's funny because even we've been doing this for a long time. It'll be 6 years in May, I think, that we've been doing this. And, you know, still, whenever I tell people, like, oh, yeah, like, gotta go home, watch The Bachelor, they're like, The Bachelor? But I feel like over the past 6 years, we've been able to have some pretty important conversations about a lot of big and or heavy topics. And just because it's framed in watching The Bachelor, people don't always take it super seriously, and that's fine and dandy, because then we're like slipping earworms in, right? And, you know, giving them some propaganda wrapped up in BS about The Bachelor. So justice for reality television. We deserve credit for sticking with this genre for so darn long.
Yeah, and I love when there's like little overlaps, even just the fact that I was like, oh, they're in the Australian outback. And actually, an Easter egg to look out for on Love is Blind, it's not a spoiler, but there is one of the officiants is a former Survivor contestant, one of the officiants at the very end.
What? Oh my gosh. And it's like, I have really not random. Heard that yet.
Yeah, so
I'm excited now. Yeah there's a lot of weirdo overlap. Yeah.
Don't remember what season she was on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So an early boot, but yeah.
I think she was my winner pick that season.
Oh really?
Yeah. The only winner pick I've ever gotten right is Kim.
Mm. For that's her original season.
Yep.
Yes, that's a good one.
Oh, awesome. Well, it was so great having you, Gabby. Haley, do you have any takes from Doug? I know that's one thing we usually do before we wrap up.
I do. Okay. Let me pull them up. Okay. So he says, my mom asked me to predict the craziness of the finale before it began, and I said that the two girls would likely fall for each other, then engage in a threesome with Peter's brother. Well, Peter was once again rejected by Hannah Brown, and his parents decide to live on air and get a divorce. So with that in mind, the finale didn't seem that dramatic. I think that's fair. Could have been a lot worse. You have a simple choice. Your parents can either sue Ethan repeatedly on national television, or you can talk to them about your sex life on national television. Choose wisely. Absolutely, I'm picking sue Ethan on national television. Not even close. He'd get over it. He's like Teflon, that guy.
Peter's very comfortable. It doesn't bother him at all. But
Ethan
yeah,
and
yeah.
I are just discussing how we can avoid kissing at our own wedding. So we don't want to kiss in front of our families.
Oh my God.
Say coronavirus. All right, guys.
Yeah, there you
just
go.
Just like a hearty handshake to seal the deal, you know? Yeah. Would Peter have been better off just to have been poisoned by one of those crazy Australian spiders on his run? Probably.
Absolutely.
Remember when Neil Lane had to introduce himself to Peter? Who the hell else did Neil think would come talk to him about rings? Yeah, I don't know. Ethan was like, well, didn't he meet him already in Hannah's season? I'm like, no, honey. He didn't make it that far. Come on. Keep up. Alice Springs did not look that great. I think I would rather get engaged in Cleveland. I do not echo Doug's sentiment. I believe Alice Springs looks great. And if Tourism Australia wants to bring me there, sure, I'm in.
You deal with the bugs. That was the only bad part, I think.
I'll just wear long sleeves. Does Maddie know that Peter probably banged Hannah Ann a few more times after they got engaged? I mean, I would hope that she's not that naive.
Yeah.
Who is more terrible, Peter's mom or, I don't know, the worst person you know? I mean, honestly, she's the worst. If I was dating someone and their parents were like that, I would have real questions. If they were like that on national TV, I would have been out of there. Yeah, see, we enjoyed it on TV, but, like, I don't know if I want my mother-in-law to be that, like, hands-on.
Definitely not.
No.
I think that every time Claire makes a questionable decision, we should get Peter's mom's live reaction in the sassy look box. I think it's more likely that the men make questionable decisions, but other than that, I am fine with that addition. Please do a quick impression with Amy as Connor asking you out as Victoria F. just to keep me laughing until the Bachelorette starts. All right, Amy, let's do this. Right. Our last impression of the season.
Right, so I'm Connor asking out Victoria F. on Paradise.
Yep.
So, Victoria, like, I totally don't believe any of the rumors about you. Do you want to date me?
I don't know. Maybe. I just, like, there's just, like, a lot of pressure right now. And, like, I just don't know how I'm feeling. And, like, I just don't know. Like, I just don't know. I need to leave. And then she leaves.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah.
Bravo. That was amazing.
Scene. Yeah.
And scene. All right.
And scene on this podcast. Can you believe we've made it through? Another season of The Bachelor.
The season actually ended. We have no closure, but
whatever.
Gabby, are you going to be watching Listen to Your Heart?
Definitely not.
Okay, good.
No way.
It looks so bad.
I'm probably going to end up watching it I have a job where I work from home and I need to have TV on during the day. So I could see that being a good background show.
Okay, well, let us know. Yeah, let us know how it is, because it looks like, and I'm somebody who watched Bachelor Winter Games, so like my bar is pretty low, but I will not be watching that.
At least Winter Games, like, it was people we knew with some other new people mixed in. These seem like they're just the rejects of, you know, Bachelor casting.
And yeah,
they have some musical talent.
A season full of Jeds.
Yeah. But my fear is that they're going to show up on Paradise. So I feel like we will need to know some of these characters, but I guess, we can meet them anew in Paradise as well. So I'll tune into the first episode just out of duty to the podcast, but no promises after that.
We may cover the first episode, but we promise nothing above and beyond that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just talk about
Love is Blind. Nor am I promising
that.
I'm just saying maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Love is Blind is great. Watch that instead.
Yeah. Definitely.
Will do.
All right, Gabby, thank you again so much for joining us. It was so fun to have someone else help us break down this crazy finale. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, tweeting about Barb at Gabby Pascuzzi. And thank you guys for having me. It was so much fun. Not just like yelling my thoughts at my poor boyfriend who doesn't watch the show, or like tweeting into oblivion. So really fun to break it down with you guys too.
Yeah. Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @strong_, and you can follow my blog, strongtakes.ca.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at @RHAPRecapper. So stay tuned to when Haley and I might be back, but we'll have a little hiatus until then. All right. Bye.
Bye.